This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss
for feminism.
Silenced my shit.
Oh.
Just learned about airplane mode recently.
Whoa.
Wait, you made it this long?
Well, no. I always would turn it on in an airplane because, like, I'm trying to help us stay up, but then I didn't really know you can just, like, do that so, like, your boss won't notify you. Or you're not, like, getting the notifications. You know, I didn't know that we could pretend to be on an airplane all the time.
Oh.
You're pretending to be on an airplane when it's on airplane mode?
I'm just like, I was about to say, room service. I'm kind of weird on airplanes.
Has this started?
Yeah.
Started. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know.
No. It doesn't have
to
be.
Tell you.
We're here today with Alex Songsha.
The one and only. Alex Songsha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Sorry to spring it on you, but yeah, we're recording.
Whoa.
Wasn't it seamless?
Oh my gosh. I was like, Nora's being funnier than you.
truly roasted alive. I'm just kind of trying to like, okay. Nora's being funnier than usual. I can turn it on. Yeah, I can turn it on, so.
I don't know what it says that, like, I wasn't. It's just, like, it's still equally not funny.
No. Negging work?
I do feel roasted, and and you should watch Improv House tomorrow, because I think you're doing your roasting segment again, right?
Yeah.
So, we're still here in Vermont. We've lasted a while. We'll see how long we last still. And we've gotten to meet you, which has been
a delight.
Radical. Good. Amazing.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
I'm just not being normal. Oh, you want me to be normal?
No, just be whatever you are. You're great. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, so what we want to do today is we want to know about you. We want to know what you want us to know, I guess. How you got here to the one and only Improv House. What your journey was to comedy, to acting, to all of it. Is that a vague enough opening?
Cool, yeah.
Do you have did anything come to mind of where to start? Or I could get a little more specific.
Thank you for having me at Improv House.
Also, I just realized today, I think it's so funny. I don't know if this is intentional, but most of the cast calls it Improv House instead of the Improv House. Which I didn't really notice and I don't really care, but I just think it's funny that I'm like, oh, I think everyone here just calls it Improv House.
I think I do know that it's the Improv House, because I think at one point I had searched for, the socials for it, but it was not Improv House.
Mm.
In fact, nobody was Improv House.
We're creating a subgroup in the Improv House called Improv House. All I can think about with the is in the reboot, the 4-episode reboot of Gilmore Girls, they decided that Alexis Bledel's character was going to, spoiler, sorry, but she was going to write a book about her life with her mom, which is very, you know, full circle, but the mom, like, doesn't support it, and then she does, and she's just like, she's calling it The Gilmore Girls, and then Laura's like, just call it Gilmore Girls.
I forgot
it's
about
cleaner.
That. Yeah. It's cleaner.
So I mean, we can't go back.
And Facebook used to be called The Facebook.
Yeah. So famously.
Okay. So famously, I guess.
I don't know.
It's The Beatles.
Right. You wouldn't say Beatles.
Yeah, that would be weird. Anyway.
Well, you'd say, like, I was listening to a Beatles song.
The Beatles song.
The Beatles.
Song from the Beatles.
Anyway. From Canada.
I am from Canada. Last aside about the name for the Improv House, my friend calls it the Comedy Cabin.
Yeah, that would have been better.
The Comedy Cabin.
She just asked, like, how's the Comedy Cabin going?
My friends call it Zoom Camp.
Oh.
Zoom Camp?
Yeah, they're like, be good at Zoom camp.
But we're not on Zoom.
Yeah, why Zoom camp?
Yeah, well, they don't listen when I talk, really.
They just think we're all here, but Zooming in still.
Yeah. Yeah, they're tuning in. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they've definitely been watching every night.
I'm Canadian. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, we got a fact in. Do you guys need to know anything else? No? Thank you so much for listening.
Is Canada the comedy capital of the world, yes or no?
Whoa. I don't know.
Wait, isn't the festival there? Isn't Just for Laughs there?
Just for Laughs is there. I moved away from Canada when I was pretty young, when I was 8. It is always cool to me when there's, like, another, like, comedic legend from Canada. Like, you get your Jim Carreys and your Mike Myers and,
Some good eggs.
Some good eggs.
And some weird eggs. The good eggs are also weird.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, Mike Myers.
Yeah. I feel like those are, like, the names that always first come to mind. But Ryan Gosling is also Canadian.
Hot. So is Justin Bieber.
Is Justin Bieber. Rachel McAdams.
Hot. Yes.
I love Rachel McAdams.
So The Whole Notebook.
The Whole Notebook is from Canada.
Yeah, I love that part Jim Carrey was.
He is so
He really made that good. Movie for me.
Well, I'm always like, the people that are funny are not from here. Like, I the good actors, not from America. Because it's like, they're from Canada, they're from
the UK.
Across the pond.
From Australia.
Yeah, all over.
A lot
over.
Of great Australian actresses.
And also, they're also beautiful there.
Yeah. But they were made up of prisoners. I don't know the full history to make such a blanket statement of like, Australia, a place made up entirely of former prisoners.
But you were listening for a little bit in history
and also,
class.
Also a little bit, and also probably abolish prisons is my.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, absolutely. I don't know.
I think there's also a lot of indigenous Australian people there before
yes,
the
yes.
prisons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we all could do a little more reading about Australia. I certainly
not grew up religious at all. Like, we just didn't have one. It wasn't that we were atheists. We just did not have one. And I desperately wanted one. Like, watching Seventh Heaven, they were all preacher's kids. Yes. And I was like, I want to be a preacher's kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Did your family share the interest in the show with you? Or is this just,
no.
like, you by yourself pretty much?
This was me by
it?
Myself.
Tuning in, 8, 7 Central, every Tuesday.
I have no idea when it was on. I was, like, a latchkey kid or whatever. So I just watched TV after school. And so I watched a ton of Seventh Heaven. I watched, like, the WB block, so I watched, like, Sabrina the Teenage mm-hmm. Witch, mm-hmm. and then I would leave it on, and it would suddenly be Dharma and Greg, so I watched a ton of Dharma and Greg, which also set the unrealistic expectation, I think, of, like, I feel like that was the first time I was like, oh, that show told me that, like, they have sex every day, and that is what adults do.
Yeah. No, it's... if I, like, could go back and be like, that gave me, like, unrealistic expectations for love and, like, that for friendship and, like, that for my relationship with this person. And it's just, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of comes out and you're like, oh, I just also think that my life will be a movie, but maybe it'll be a documentary. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know. Maybe we don't know.
Well, but is it good to have your life be a documentary or has something
to really it? I feel like it's either really bad or really good.
Yeah. Although, so, like, celebrity documentaries or, like, musicians. Like, you got your Lady Gaga 5'2". You got mm-hmm. your Taylor Swift. What is the name of her? Americana? Miss Americana?
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot her title.
And we're sorry. We're listening.
But, like, those are, like, is it truly a documentary or is it a little bit propaganda? But also it makes me love them so much.
I know. Yeah. So it's working.
Yeah.
So it's working. I mean, I hope I am in a...
It was, like, around the time they had just started doing PPTX or something. Mm-hmm. So I, like, by changing it but not actually converting it, it would just, like, show up as a corrupted file when I clicked it on the teacher's computer. But when it was finally my turn to present, like, when I finally, like, could not do that any more times, like, I presented and they were, like, long words, and I like, would just, I mean, they're not good jokes, but I'd be like, oh, and then, oh, big word, and then the class would laugh, and then the teacher, like, at the end was like, okay, Alex, this is not a stand-up routine, so... Yeah, maybe that's...
Like, but what if it
was? But what if it was?
What if the grade was for the stand-up routine? Like, I'll take a grade for the stand-up and a grade for the project. Uh-huh. I love the idea that, like, you have a calendar and you're like, okay, this week if I corrupt the file, we'll get through this one. Next one, some other thing. We could corrupt it again, but that's going to be three.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I usually do the thing where I, like, double space. Or made the periods a larger font so that it made it all longer.
That's great.
That's good.
I think my issue also is that I did not do enough of the assignment to, like, be able to hand something in.
Yeah.
There was a time I, like, wrote the first page of a multi-page essay, and then so I printed out the first page and then stapled a bunch of blank paper to the back and tried to tell her that, like, oh, I, like, the printer must have messed up and I didn't notice when I handed it in.
I also love that, like when you're a teenager, you're like, this will probably work. I bet this will work. And the teacher's like, I'm on to you. But, like, they can't say that, really.
Yeah. But. I had a teacher whose name was Miss Gandhi. It's only relevant because I...
Because you can all look her up.
No. Because you can look her up. Thank you for your kindness, Miss Gandhi. I had an assignment that was late, but I sent an email being like, oh my gosh, I just realized I put the H in the wrong place, and so it must have gone to someone else.
That's good. You're
That's
clever.
Really good.
Wait, so was it in those moments then that, like, when your teacher was like, this is not stand-up, you're like, wait, stand-up? What? Like, was there, like, a moment? Or
we're
just
trying
kind of, like,
to
a
write
slow...
your documentary, so if you could, like, give us some plop.
So it wasn't until college. I went to NYU, which I also dropped out of. But while there, I started going to UCB shows. And I guess it was, I took the spring semester off of my freshman year because I was already failing out of classes. I don't know why. but
it's amazing. You also, like, got into NYU. It's just, like, things were, you know.
Yeah, I get, my high school was weird in that, like, NYU was, like, very much seen as a safety school, backup kind of school, because, like,
damn.
I don't know, like, 10% of kids would go to, like, Ivy League, so I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna, but obviously it's a good school, I don't know.
I know you're the sponsor of this podcast, so.
Spring UCB. Semester, I just, like, took all the UCB classes over the course of a year, and yeah, that was, like, my intro to performing, I guess, was, like, improv. And stand-up didn't really come until later, and I still, I don't fully see myself as a stand-up. Yeah, and then I kind of cobbled together, like, acting classes through NYU, and then also, like, took classes at Atlantic, and then did the summer intensive at William Esper, and was actually in the middle of doing the two-year program there before shutdown happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's
did
my...
Did you like the Atlantic program? I love that theater.
Yeah, so I actually, I don't think I've ever seen a production there. I really want to.
It looks like a house.
Yeah,
like...
I've watched Faust.
Yeah.
I really loved the voice teacher there. I took two of her classes. Her name was Katie Bull. She's great. I felt very, like, it felt very actory and freeing and stuff. The technique itself, practical aesthetics, I probably can't speak too much to it because I just, like, took the intro class. But I think, like, it wasn't the technique that I personally connected the most with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think acting is so fascinating in that there are so many techniques, and it's like there really is not a right one because everything just works for some people and not for others. And also,
yeah.
Like, I have this teacher who's like, technique is really just to, like, influence or, like, be a catalyst for your instincts. So you really just have to find whatever drives your own instinct, which I think is
right
interesting. But then also, I don't know, when you're in a class setting, whether it's, like, academic or not feeling like there's, like, a right way to do it or getting feedback is sometimes counter
Because that's also, like,
productive.
When you get in the job, like, you're not going to be like, okay, am I, like, setting up this object? Like, maybe you are amazing, but I feel like it's also just, like, and live in your body and, like, don't do weird things with your hand. And it's, like, did you set everything else up?
Be that person.
Be that person.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, everybody you're working with has a different technique and you don't really discuss that with them on the job.
Unless you get, like, really heady one night being like, okay, like, this is
and then everyone just, like, hates you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I do see it more as just, like, oh, whatever, like, school or technique, like, frees you back to, like, the instincts you had before it was, like, conditioned out of you by, like, living.
Yeah.
By the beat down of every day.
But I think also, and similarly, I didn't really start acting until I was, I guess, like, 17. So a little, like, and now that obviously sounds so young, but at the time when there's, like, the kids who have, like, been in, like, community theater since they were, like, 3 years old, by the time, and I did study it in college, but it was interesting, acting came a lot, the classes there came to me a lot easier because I didn't have the weird, like, actor habits
that
a lot of the kids did from being, like, and then I put both my arms out and raise them up, and it's like, no, we're not.
Right,
we're
which is, that. Like, also, I feel like there's a distinction between, like, performer versus actor, not that they can't both, like, you can't be both, but, like, being a really great performer does not automatically mean great actor, I guess. But yeah, I think with, like, Atlantic, I was just like, I think I have so much repression as a human being that, like, this technique, I guess, really emphasizes, like, not doing more than just, like, I could be speaking out of turn, but, it, like, it's, like, a pretty naturalistic and, like, oh, like, the job of an actor is, like, learn your lines and hit your marks. Which I do still agree with, but I think I needed a school that was more like, oh, you repress things in general, so, like, this will break you open. Like, I've never truly expressed anger before, and so, like, me being like, well, I am reacting how I react angrily in real life, which is by shutting down.
Right.
Like, that is not helpful to, like, it was much more helpful for me to, like, with Meisner training now of, like, oh, that was all in there and I never let it out, but, like, that's not necessarily interesting to see. Yeah, learning to let it out and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I think then it's also this, if, for me, it was this balance of, like, opening that up and then not letting that consume my whole life.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Like, 'cause I feel like I had this experience in college where it was, like, vulnerability and, like, opening up, and, like, that ended up for me being like, oh, I need to chew on every emotion and feel every emotion that I feel, which just led to, like, a lot of depression.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, then being like, okay, how do we, like, use it and allow it without, like, I don't know.
And
which
they're,
I think,
like,
is just the ongoing.
Crying is not always the good choice for this scene. And you're like, but I'm
sobbing.
I'm already crying. And they're like, we haven't even called action.
Basically, yes. But you write as well, right?
I do, yeah. I feel like I think I've probably been employed more as a writer than as an actor. I think I've definitely made more money as a writer than as an actor. Not that that's what it's about.
But it's nice when that happens.
I had taken all the improv classes at UCB, like 101 through 401, a bunch of advanced study, but I'd only taken sketch 101 and 201. And then I took an improv class with Nate Dern, who was the artistic director at the time. And right after it was only a 4-week class. And it was an interesting vibe because it did feel like, oh, we're taking a class with the AD. Like, it kind of feels like a 4-week-long audition.
Mm.
And then when the class ended, I got a call from him being like, oh, there's a spot open for a writer on mod night. And I was like, oh, cool. Do you want me to submit? And he was like, oh, did you think I was calling everybody to tell them they could submit to mod night?
He's like, you crushed the audition.
So yeah, he did offer me that, mod writer position, which I feel like speaking to like the insane place that my brain is, I was like, oh, he doesn't see me as a performer.
I mean, I would have done the same thing.
Right, because the same day he, like, somebody else from that class, he offered a Lloyd position. So instead of being like, oh my gosh, he gave me a spot on Mod Night as a writer without me even, like, taking Sketch 301 or Advanced Study Sketch, I was like, wow, he didn't give me that Lloyd improv spot.
Because why not? Why love what you get instead of hating yourself for what someone else gets? That's kind of my MO, so I get that.
So from being on that mod team, and I do also feel like I was, like, very green when I was on mod. And it was also, it was back at the old training center on West 30th Street, like, right by Penn Station. But we would almost always have, I guess they called them lock-in rehearsals at the time, because the training center closed, I think maybe around 10, but we would have rehearsal from 10 to 1 a.m., like, every single time, so, like, twice a week. And then because I had dropped out of school, I was living at home in New Jersey, but commuting to the city every day, and the last train out of Penn Station to the town in New Jersey where I lived was at 1:19, and so we would often run a little bit late, but I knew that I had to start running from the training center to Penn Station at least by 1:10 in order to make the 1:19 train home, or else I'd be stranded in Penn Station, which did happen a bunch of times over my, like, I think I commuted from home, like, how long is it? At least for, like, a year or two.
Oh, my God. Did you have a bud that you could, or you just sat there?
It depended on, one time I just sat in the waiting room, which was probably the most responsible way I spent that time. One time it was, like, after I discovered that, like, UCB people go to McManus after shows, so I had stayed too late at McManus, and then because I'd also, been drinking at the bar, I really had to pee, and it did not occur to me. I might have been just 21 or maybe even a little bit underage. that it did not How? Occur to me. They never carded at McManus. Well, they did card me once at McManus on St. Patrick's Day, and I tried to give them an NYU ID.
They were, like, closed. Did you pee or did you?
I
tell us.
Well, it didn't occur to me that I could just go back to the bar to use the bathroom. So I walked along 23rd Street and asked to use the bathroom at one of the gyms. And the guy, like, let me, but he was also, like, this, like, bodybuilder guy who, like, just, like, engaged me in this very strange conversation. I think we exchanged numbers. It was a weird point in my life where I just, like, was saying yes to things I shouldn't. But, I mean, nothing, like, that interaction ended that night, but he showed me a bunch of pictures of, like, female bodybuilders.
he's like, with a little help, like, this could be you. He's actually just selling you on muscle.
Yeah, it was actually, yeah, he was just selling me on a different lifestyle, that was a night I missed a train, and I used the gym bathroom on 23rd Street, and I think just wandered the rest of the night.
That's intense and scary.
Yeah.
But it also is going to be great for the documentary!
So from that first mod team was how I met my manager. Charity reps one of the other writers on the team, and he recommended me, which was very nice. But then also we had our first meeting that year, like, over lunch, and I knew she repped some of my friends also, and I think I, like, point blank kind of asked near the end of the meeting, because I, like, was getting the vibe, like, oh, this, like, it's ending here, of, like, oh, so how do I get in the same, like, arena as, like, my friends you do represent, like, I guess just asking, like, why are you signing me? And she was like, oh, like, because I had sent her sketches and stuff, and she was like, well, you'd need, like, TV samples. Like, I can't just tell people to, like, hire her, trust me. Like,
yeah.
So it took me another, like, year and a half, maybe 2 years to, like, finally finish 2, like, scripts and send them to her. And then I had also, like, been, I think, like, interning at a Snell and just as, like, a set design intern and was applying for, like, the writer's assistant job at, like, Above Average. And then also Simon Rich's new show was hiring a writer's assistant and I interviewed for that. Did not get either job, but, like, used that as, like, leverage of, like, ah, oh, these are the things I got on my plate right now. And we she read one leverage. Of the...
You're like, are there, well, they're not on my...
I'm just in the process. I'm just interviewing a ton right now.
Look at your, like, there's nothing.
But she did read, I think ultimately it was, like, the sample. She, like, read the sample and said she had, like, forwarded it to some shows. And so we met for lunch again and started working together after that. And she just sent me packets all the time. And it was, like, think it felt like a lifetime at the time of, like, oh my gosh, she sent me so many packets and I've submitted so many and nothing's happening. But I think it was within, like, a few months that I got my first writing job on a true TV show called Comedy Knockout, and then I got The Tonight Show a few months after that.
Rad.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. But now I feel like at the time I thought, like, everyone on Herald Night who I saw get jobs, like, it felt like, oh, they've been raptured. They, like, can quit Herald Night. They've got their first TV job. They're good now. They're set. They've made it. And I think it took me a while to learn after the Tonight Show job and even after, like, a few jobs that came after that, that, like, yeah, it still just feels like you still have to fight for that next job. Yeah. So that's where I'm at currently of seeing when that next wave comes, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that the Improv House hasn't been the opportunity of a lifetime.
It's like writing for a comedy show or, like, a late night show. Tell me about your dream, Alex. We love to get wax poetic about your dreams.
I mean, I feel like we've talked about this a little, but, like, my heroes at the moment very much are Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Michaela Cole, and it would be so cool to create a show and have some sort of autonomy over a show or direction over a show and also be in it in some form. Leading. No, I would love to, like, play a like a sidekick or a strange neighbor character in a show where I get to tell everyone else what to do. That would also be fun.
I know. No one has, like, I don't know if no one, me being like, I've seen everything, so I know. But I feel like people don't utilize that enough, and I feel like a fun side character just, like, pops in, gets, like, the best one-liner, pops out, and then you're still just, like, the creator. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good.
Like an Alfred Hitchcock or, like, a Stan Lee, like, they always make a cameo in their stuff. Mm-hmm.
Whitney's like, no, I'm leading. I
would start with that.
Yeah.
For sure.
humble.
I would. That's something I would do, I guess.
We'll take the crumb.
Do you see it in the, both of those two creators have a lot of, like, dark comedy? Do you see, like, is that kind of what you like as well?
It's something I say jokingly, but I don't know how much of it is just what I mean. is, like, I'd much rather do serious stuff than comedy. I love comedy. It feels like an easy way in.
You're talking yourself not an out easy of way the in. Improv.
Oh, yeah. I think my default is comedy. It is, like, that is how I find the easiest way to communicate between people, too, and to, like, instantly kind of relate to someone. And I've been thinking about this recently of, like, you know how, like, people get asked, like, who are your influences? Like, what really shaped you? And I feel like I was always trying to collect answers because I of, like, oh, that's like an acceptable person to look up to. Like, ah, oh, yes, Meryl Streep's performance is always inspiring. Mm-hmm. Like, and obviously, yes. But I'm realizing now that
Meryl, we still love you. Like, don't even worry.
I mean,
she and I went to same college, so like, we're really close.
Well, that's her shout out.
We're not close.
Not yet. Just
like, but speaking of Vassar, I feel like what I realized, like, oh, my influences are, like, the mumblecore movies of the early 2000s.
Me too, dude! Me too.
I just watched so many of them. And, like,
I know.
Because I feel like I haven't really seen an interview where someone was like, my influence was... I mean, I guess we're aging into the group where, like... But, like, oh, yeah, I loved emo pop punk. I loved mumblecore. I loved just, like, trash.
Things people do not like.
Yeah.
I remember sitting down with John and being like, okay, we're going to watch, I think it was not Drinking Buddies, but it was, like, Happy Christmas, which is, do you know these movies? It's what's his name who did Easy on Netflix. He's a guy. Anyway, he's a mumblecore guy.
Is it, what's his face? He works with the Duplass brothers sometimes. Yes. I can see, oh, Joe, what?
Joe Swanberg.
Swanberg! There we go.
But, John watched half a movie and he's like, well, nothing's happening, so I'm gonna go to bed. And I was like, is that like happening?
That's the point.
I was like, everything's happening. Everything's
happening. But, yeah. He made cereal. Look at him make cereal.
Make cereal, which is, yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. I think it coincided with, my mom got Netflix for all of us in, I want to say, like, 2007 or 8-ish, like, streaming, because I kept torrenting things, and she kept getting emails from, like, our internet provider being like, stop.
Stop.
So she was like, if I get Netflix, will you stop torrenting things? But I didn't realize it till I listened to the Duplass Brothers book earlier this year, and they were talking about how one of their, like, early deals at Sundance, like, when they sold, I think, the Puffy Chair or something, they could have either had a theatrical release or they, like, really got in on the ground floor with Netflix. So a ton of their stuff, a ton of, like, other, like, mumblecore stuff was just on Netflix. And it was also usually shorter than 90 minutes. And in 2011, got really obsessed with, and I still do this, so I write down every single movie I've watched, so I really wanted a high number back then. I don't, like, keep track of the number anymore, but I, because they were shorter movies, I could watch a ton of them.
Hey!
Yeah.
Whenever I get you there.
Get you in the door. Oh my gosh. Oh, I just want to make a weird kind of meandering movie with you about nothing.
I would love that.
Okay, well, we're gonna work on it.
Yeah.
Whitney's like, it has no plot, and we're like, yeah, it has no plot.
I like weird meandering, and then one strange, like, either, like, absurd or cataclysmic event also happens, exactly. And we just, like, kind of deal with it.
But you're not the, like, forefront people deal. It's not like you're, like, the president.
No. Dealing,
but it's like, and you're just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's our pitch, Netflix. You're also listening, but
yeah, hey. So let us know. I think I got the year wrong. I don't think it was 2007 or 2008. I think I got Netflix a little bit after that. I just, that was gonna bother me, so.
Yeah.
Because 2007 and 8 was
a little early.
We still were doing the DVDs.
Yeah. Maybe it was closer to 2010.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were gonna just talk about waiting for the DVDs?
It was great. It was like a great, remember when we had to wait for things?
And
it was like, I got to pick one, my dad got to pick one. I mean, this is rough for Natalie and my mom, but, like, you know, it's like you chose what the lineup was. Videos.
How come your mom and sister didn't get to pick?
Because we hate them. because Natalie's 6 years younger, and then I feel like my mom's, like, pretty agreeable. But mom, if you wanted some movies, like, we can figure out how to get some Redbox videos that you want. I just want you to know.
I like that. I miss, like, watching movies being an event.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it feels like now it's like either it's like, what else am I going to do? Or it's like, yeah, there's always kind of something on.
I feel like Midsommar was an event last night.
It was. We watched Midsommar as a house together last night.
It was so scary and weird.
It was very upsetting.
Halfway through, Dan was like, oh, the color's totally off. And we had just been watching like the yellowest Midsommar.
Yeah, he had night mode on in his computer.
It was hell. It was hell.
Yeah, that's...
But I also really respected when you were like, this is actually not going to be for me. Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
Yeah, I really respected that.
Thank you.
I wish I did that.
Yeah, because I'm scared now.
Yeah. But I also knew that I wasn't going to watch it on my own. I really miss movie theaters.
I do too.
Like, yeah, I really loved going to the movies with people, but also I went by myself a lot.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The movie pass era when you could just go.
Mm-hmm.
Truly whenever.
I did the AMC since then.
Yeah.
Which is also beautiful if you live close to an AMC.
Yeah. I never committed to it because it sounded more expensive, even though I'm pretty sure I spend more than that by not having it.
Right. It would be like if you saw one movie, it was usually paid for.
Right.
Or like maybe you had to see two. I don't, in New York at least.
Yeah, but like if you're seeing four, it's definitely going to pay for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there would also be the things like, Marriage Story was only playing at the Paris. Mm-hmm. So then you like, or stuff that's like only playing at the Angelica.
Oh, I never went to the Paris.
That's okay. They like closed, but then some.
Didn't like Netflix buy it? Or was that a different one?
I didn't know if they bought it. I know that they definitely rented it, so they could have bought it. Because they did Marriage Story there, and then The Irishman. Did they own The Irishman? They did.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, they probably bought it.
They definitely bought it.
They for sure bought it.
I think they did that with an LA, like, iconic theater, too.
Hmm. Just so that they could get their Oscars.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But it's like...
Did they?
They no. did oh, save... They did.
Well, I don't know if that's how... If they won, but that's why they did it.
Oh,
sorry. But, like, the argument goes both ways of, like, oh, it's weird that it's Netflix, but they are saving a landmark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also... the art form.
Yeah.
Also, they're making movies happen.
Yeah. So. I did a Netflix movie.
What is it?
It's The Week Of. It was an Adam Sandler movie, part of his, like...
Did you deal with them?
He has multiple deals with Netflix. I think he had a 4-movie deal with them, and he's definitely signed at least another 4-movie deal with them. I don't know if it's already been another cycle of...
Wait, what's the movie about and what's your role in it? What's your character?
How do we watch it? Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's called The Week Of. It's an Adam Sandler, Chris Rock movie. That's what I did right after The Tonight Show. So it felt like... I think I took the momentum for granted. I was like, oh, it'll always be like this.
Mm. And it always will be.
It was directed by Robert Smigel, who's a comedy legend, and then I got to be a writer for him on an HBO special, like, that fall, so it really did feel like a snowball for a while. The movie's about Adam Sandler's daughter, and the movie gets married to Chris Rock's son, and I played one of the bridesmaids, and what was cool was they cast a lot of like local New York comedy people as like the it was like a big ensemble, like goofy characters kind of movie. So my character goes through the arc of being like nerdy dentist school friend to like
we all have one.
The neighbor boy is obsessed with the bride, and then I eventually get with the neighbor boy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was played by Adam's nephew Jared Sandler.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's like a really fun set.
It was very fun. That was how I spent the summer of 2017.
That's sick.
That's pretty sick. It's on Long Island.
Long Island. This has been a delight.
This has.
Yeah. I've just laughed and laughed and sweat a little. I'm being honest. I'm being vulnerable. this is mumblecore.
You're being funnier than normal. So
I guess that. Funnier than normal. I'm like, do you also mean like in the improv show? Like, should I like put, I guess I need to like get better. But Anyway,
I'm just gonna unpack that.
I'm gonna unpack.
Okay,
you've given me a full complex.
I'm sorry, but also, it's very funny to me.
You gotta turn on in show business, you know what I mean? In show business, which is us in this still two twin bed old
haunted
granny room.
Room.
Yeah. It's a great room.
It's a great room.
This is showbiz, baby.
This is showbiz.
Buckle up. Where can the fans, aka our moms, find you?
I'm on the internet sometimes. My website is alexsongxia.com, AlexSongxia. And that is also my Twitter and Instagram handle.
Keeping it classy.
Keeping it simple, fresh. We love that.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry if I was an asshole to you.
You were.
That actually is one of the themes of our podcast, is that people come on and then drag Nora for things.
So. Do I deserve it? Yes.
I wasn't going to answer that, but I'm glad you did.
So nice. All right.
Bye. All right, that's what we have today. If you're interested in being on the Hysterical Women podcast, send us a DM and we would love to have you.
We'd love to hear from you. More voices in the conversation can only be good.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.